and welcome. This is Love in the North and South. I'm one of your co-hosts, Ryan Philip Lamb.
And I'm your other co-host, Jenny Kim.
And today we're talking about having difficult conversations with your parents. Now, we've posted our question of the week, which is, how do you have discussions with parents when it's difficult conversations? And unfortunately, we didn't get too much of a response. Maybe, Jenny, we should tell people where they can interact with the show.
Mm-hmm. You can always email us at our Gmail, which is lovensadvice@gmail.com. Our Twitter is the same, lovensadvice. And we have our Facebook site, which you can look up, just Love in the North and South.
Excellent. Well, you know, I really hope that people do interact with the show. It's always fun to get people's comments and whatnot. So how was your week last week, Jenny?
Pretty good. The week itself was same old work and stuff. And then there was New Year's, of
course.
There
was New Year's.
I hope everybody had a wonderful New Year's. I had a wonderful New Year's with my lovely co-host here.
What?
Mr. Ryan Philip Lamb.
Wow. We actually, yeah, that's very true. We did celebrate New Year's together. Went down to Seattle to hang out with you and your enforcer brethren. And I had a super kick-ass time. I just wanted to thank you for your lovely hospitality.
Aww.
Had such a great time. Let me tell you, your enforcer friends, they are super awesome. And I really just, I want to give a great shout out to them as well. We had our New Year's party with a whole bunch of enforcers and they totally accepted me into the group with open arms. And, you know, I really appreciated it. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. I'm glad that you enjoyed yourself.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of fun. I was really lucky to have my own tour guide in you. So today's topic is having difficult conversations with the parentals.
So since this is a relationship podcast, we're mainly going to be talking about breaking the news to your parents that you found the one, or that someone cheated on you, or that you're LGBTQ, A, whatever. That is what we're going to be talking about today.
Absolutely. Not only that, but we're also going to discuss a couple of different ways to touch on topics with your parents in general. Communication in any relationship is super important, parents notwithstanding. And it's difficult because, let's face it, you're in a situation with your parents where you're placed in their care for so many years. And you essentially learn a lot from your parents if you are in a parental situation as a child. So it can be difficult to talk to your parents about, well, anything, really.
Especially the really hard things. You can always, there's always small talk, just come on, oh, how's your day? Mom, I got cheated on. I mean, how does that come up?
Yeah, maybe that's not the best way to approach that particular conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, quite honestly, it is important to talk with your parents. Try to promote regular levels of communication. The more communication you're able to have with your parents, the easier it's going to be when you actually have difficult things to discuss.
If you keep up that rapport, then I think it'll help a lot. If you just don't really have that relationship with your parents and then you just drop a bomb on them, like anybody, they're not going to like that.
Absolutely. It's going to be difficult for them to take in the information, and you're not going to get your desired response out of telling them what you need to tell them. And not only that, but talking with them, it allows you to know who you're talking to. Like anything in life, you want to know your audience, and it's parents notwithstanding. It's funny because, like, as parents, you expect them to love you, and you expect them to accept you for who you are and how you behave. But the truth is, with any conversation, it is important to know your audience and know who you're talking to. That way you can achieve your desired outcome.
And like Ryan said, you do expect your parents to love you and care about you and accept you for what you do. But sometimes they do have a view that is different from yours. And even though they are loving and accepting, they may not be as understanding. They may not respect your view, or they may not respect what you do. So be prepared for that.
Definitely. There is a degree of a communication gap that you'll naturally have with your parents. Because let's face it, they grew up in different times than you. You're in a situation where they are slightly dominant. They are the instructors. They expect to be the teachers. You're expected to be the learners. So there is going to be a communication gap between you both. Just keep that in mind when you're approaching the topic. It's just, you know, let's face it, we all as people have different experiences in our lives, and just try to be sensitive to that. Like we're saying, if you have a good rapport with your parents, you know where they're coming from, or at least you can get a sense of that. You're not going to know everything, but at least you'll know maybe there are some things that might be sensitive issues. Like, for instance, if they're not so accepting to certain, you know, lifestyle choices, you'll know that this conversation is going to be a little bit more difficult than someone who would be open to that sort of thing.
Strive to be both generationally and culturally competent. Because of different ages, yes, they will think different things. And for me personally, I'm Korean American. My parents, they're both immigrants. So they have very Korean views about some things, while I have very American views about other things. And in order to bridge that gap, you've really got to be intentional about what you say.
Absolutely. So why don't we take a look at some specific scenarios? Like, why don't we start with the happy one? How do you break the news that you might have found the one? Now, we should probably quantify this. So, like, how do we break this down? Do we break this down as, do we decide when is a good time and then we tell them? Like, how are we going to do this, Jenny?
I think we'll go with when. It really depends on how long you've had the relationship. Can you imagine just being like, hey, I've had a boyfriend for 2 weeks. Guess what, Mom? We're getting married. It's that's a little bit...
A little bit sudden.
Yeah. Are you sure, honey?
Now, this is not to say that there isn't the opportunity, you know, there isn't the possibility or plausibility of love at first sight. I mean, hey, if you're in love, fair enough. I mean, maybe you know it right away that you're going to marry this person. That's fine. But maybe it's not a good idea to just go bursting into the doorways of your parents' house and be like, I've gone out with this person for a couple weeks. We're getting married. Woo! Because that's not going to be a good conversation.
Mm-mm. Also, with bursting into your parents' house, place is everything as well. I'm not going to be at some sort of family dinner with all of my close family members and then suddenly be like, hey guys, getting married, you know, in public where everybody is.
That's awesome. Yeah, definitely. Setting is such a huge part in planning out how you're going to break any sort of news. Make sure you're in an environment where you can that's actually conducive to conversation. Maybe going to a movie and saying it over the second act would not be a good idea. Maybe going to a very loud restaurant would not be a good idea. Try to find a way to get into a place where you can actually have conversation. So if 2 weeks is not long enough, what do you think is a good time to wait before you actually inform the parentals?
I think it's a good first step is to talk to your partner about that and make sure that you're on the same page. Me personally, because I tend to feel that love is something that grows. It's not something that's just there. So I would probably take upwards of a year or so before I would tell my parents, I mean, that I was in love, that this is a person that I'm going to marry. Of course, I'm going to tell them, hey, this is my boyfriend and things are going in a really good place, you know, once I have that boyfriend. But when it comes to this is the love of my life and I'm going to marry that person, then it'll take a while.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love the fact that you brought up the point about talking with your partner, because this is really a decision that maybe you can rely on your partner for. Some of these difficult situations that we're going to be discussing today, you won't necessarily have someone to bounce ideas off of. But truth be known, in this situation, you are talking about the one, and you have that person as a support group. So if you're getting into a difficult conversation with someone and you do have a support group that you know you can rely on, that you know the conversation won't be difficult with, maybe try to address some of the topics with that person so you can get an idea of where you can steer a conversation, what may be some hot button issues that you haven't thought of, and the like.
And also, you don't want to get to the point where you tell your parents, "I'm getting married, this person is awesome," and then your partner's like, "What?" Totally don't feel that way about you. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You don't want to go down that road.
That's a big non-starter. That's huge for sure. Yeah, no, you got to know that this is exactly what both people want, so just be sure of that. As far as timing is concerned, I think another good point to keep in mind would be there's a certain progression of things that can happen. If you do love someone and you happen to be close to where your parents are and you're breaking the news with them, maybe introducing that person into your parents' life is a good, you know, build up. Have a little bit of a build up if you can possibly have it. If you're not living in the same area, maybe you just want to introduce information about this partner or this person to your parents. You know, to sort of break down the information slowly. Introduce the person into, hey, this person's in my life, and guess what? He's going to be into yours, or she's going to be in yours, or whatever it is.
It doesn't go straight from nobody, 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 I'm getting married. It's, hey, this is my boyfriend, meet him. Get to know him. Hopefully you'll like him. And then, oh yeah, that guy that you met that I think you like, hopefully, we're getting married.
Yeah. So I figure that that's, I mean, let's face it, that's a happy topic. So even though it's difficult, we have given you a couple of pointers that will help you when it comes to breaking the news, which can be difficult. Maybe we should move on to some more difficult conversations. Which one do you think we should move on to next?
I would like to go on to the one where you find out that your boyfriend or girlfriend, fiance, whatever, you end up that you have to leave that person. And let's say this person is a really big part of your family's life and your family loves them. And you realize that you can't be with that person anymore because they either cheated on you or you realize you're not in love with them. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, that is one of the more difficult things to deal with when you have, especially when you're trying to have someone in your life and they become part of your life, they're going to be involved in a variety of different things, whether it's friend group or family group, they're going to be involved, hopefully. So when that happens, there is a potential for people to, you know, people who are outside of what your relationship is, which, don't get me wrong, that is the number one important thing. What your relationship is the most important thing. Never confuse that. Never keep in a relationship you don't want to be in because someone else likes the person. Forget that. You have to take care of you, for sure, no matter what.
Or don't break up with someone just because your friend doesn't like that person.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That is just ridiculous. You have to, if you like that person, you have to love that person enough to stick by your convictions. And if you don't have your own convictions, you might end up hurting yourself in the long run and someone else. So definitely stick by your conviction.
Ultimately, it is bros before hoes. That's how it is.
Yep.
But if you can keep your bros away from your hoes and compartmentalize your life, then try to do that. Don't just think, oh, my friend doesn't like this guy, or my guy doesn't like my friend, so therefore I've got to choose. It's just don't have them in the same room. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And hey, let's face it, we're not about sexism at all. So it's not just bros before hoes, it's also boobs before dudes. Let's not forget that.
Oh, I always use chicks before dicks.
Oh, that works. That works. Chicks before dicks, boobs before dudes. Women's options are always so much bigger. Oh, wait, that's sexist. Ah, bad, Ryan. You don't see this, but she just slapped me over webcam. So, getting back to it, one of the things that you'll have to take a look at when you're talking to your family members is, let's face it, you're going to have to address a specific reason why, especially when that family member has an attachment to your partner or your ex-partner, they're going to want to know why. And sometimes it's not the most fun thing to say that, hey, you know what? I'm not in love with this person. Hey, you know what? This person cheated on me. Hey, you know what? I cheated on that person and got caught. It's not a fun thing to do. So be prepared to just give the honest information about what happened.
I'm going to present a scenario.
Okay.
A friend of mine had a friend who called him mm-hmm. and said, my brother just broke up with his girlfriend. And the whole family is really mad at him because they're like, dude, this girl is the best you ever could have got. And that's kind of mean of the family.
That's so mean.
But they were sort of being truthful. This girl was really accomplished and really smart and pretty. But he had to admit his brother was just, he said, I'm sorry, I don't love her. And even if a person is perfect or whatever, or has everything that the family thinks that you should want or is good for you, if you don't love that person, if you're not happy with that person, then you can't just stay with them because they're the best you can get or the best that your family thinks you can get. It's hard, but he had to deal with everybody pretty much being mad at him because he knew he wasn't in love with this girl.
It goes back to one of the themes of our entire podcast, which is you never settle. You never settle for anything that is not going to be satisfactory to what your needs are. Your needs are very important. Obviously, you want to serve other people's needs as well, whether it be your partner or your friends or your family. But number one, do not put yourself in a position where you're settling and you're not happy, because the truth is you end up hurting more people that way than if you don't.
And you end up hurting yourself the most.
Absolutely.
I think that me personally, I'm not sure if everyone's like this, but I would rather be single for the rest of my life than end up with the wrong person.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. It's difficult to think of the idea of being single for the rest of your life, but wouldn't you rather not be in a situation where you have to wake up and go through the motions, where you have to pretend that you like a person or that you feel more for a person than you actually do? Would you really want to be in a situation where you just feel blasé about what's going on in your life? If anything, that's can drag you down and it's not a good thing.
And let's say with feeling blasé, you'll probably feel blasé if you don't like being single. But wouldn't you want it to just be you instead of inflicting that on another person as well? Doesn't that cause more stress in your life?
Yeah, it's completely unfair to the other person if you're going to put them through that. They don't deserve that. You don't deserve that. Nobody deserves that. So just don't. Just don't. And if you're in one of those situations right now, why don't you write into us and get some information, and we'll try to help you go through this. But, you know, at the end of the day, we'll probably suggest make a change, you know, because life is too short to just be existing in a situation where you're not happy. Life's too short to be in a situation where you're not happy. Life's too short to not have difficult conversations with parents so that they know where you're coming from.
And speaking of how life's too short, we should probably go ahead and go on to our next topic. So the next topic is about coming out to your parents as LGBTQA, which, for those who would like to know the acronym, it's L is lesbian, G is gay, B is bisexual, T is transgendered, Q is queer, and A is asexual. As you all know, I am bisexual. Unfortunately, with the whole coming out to my parents, since I do have a very traditionally Korean family, they are Korean American. We speak English at home. We're pretty open. But the first thing that my mother said to me when I tried telling her was, no. That's all it was, no. And I said, well, can you accept me for this? And she said, no. No, you're not. It wasn't even, no, I can't accept you, or no, I accept that you are, but I don't respect this and I will not accept you. It's, no, you're not. Pretty much flat out telling me what I was. So that was really hard, and unfortunately, I haven't been able to talk to my mom or my dad about it since then. I tried, you know, approaching the subject a couple of times, but it always came back with no or changing the subject. And I, for me personally, even though I know it's a difficult conversation that I should have sometimes with people, you know they're not going to change. You know that it's only going to hurt them if you keep trying to come back to the subject. So I'm fine keeping a secret in order to keep my family happy and keep my relationship with them amicable.
That's a perfect example of your parents taking the teacher role and not necessarily wanting to take on the learner role in a conversation, which we talked about just previously to this. And you know what? Let's face it. Sometimes, like Jenny said, there's nothing you can do about whether or not a person's going to listen. At the beginning, you have to know what you want to accomplish from the conversation. And you also have to know that sometimes you're not going to be able to have that conversation. And that's the unfortunate part about this. There's no forcing a conversation can be very unhealthy as well. Maybe you just have to turn the other cheek, be the better person. And like Jenny, unfortunately not have the conversation. And when that does happen, you will have friends that can support you. Maybe you're not able to tell the people who you really want to tell, but sometimes you have to be satisfied with the fact that you can have a support group that will be willing to listen and be willing to hear where you're coming from.
There will always be people for you, even if they're not the people that you really want to be there for you.
And if you don't necessarily know these people or they're not around, there's other resources that you can use. There's always the kids help phone, which we will post links to on Love in the North and South on our fan page. As well, you have shows like ours where we're more than happy to, even if we don't utilize, you know, one of your emails or anything on our show, we're more than happy to have a back and forth with you and try to give you some advice if you need it. Or even if you just want someone to talk to, we're more than happy to be that person for you.
And a lot of areas will have an LGBTQA alliance that you can always refer to. There are advice columns. You got your Savage Love. You got
Savage Love, yeah.
Savage Love.
Fisting.
There's the It Gets Better project. There's a lot of support out there.
Yeah, most definitely. We're going to post a lot of links on our Facebook fan page for sure. So do take advantage of those. But yeah, let's say that you have a parent who is actually, you know, maybe not receptive, but is willing to listen. So where do you go from there?
Well, first of all, like we said at the beginning, pick your setting. It's probably going to be at home. Mm-hmm. I think it should be at home.
Yeah.
Pick your timing. I would say turn music off, turn television off, make sure that it is a really sincere mom and dad or mom or whoever you're talking to, I need to tell you this. Mm-hmm. And make them understand how serious it is and how much it means to you.
Take some time to ensure that you are addressing what your feelings are. Sit down with your parents or your parent and make sure that they know that you have some really important things to discuss and be very clear and specific with your feelings. That way they know that it's a very serious issue that you're going through and that they need your help with it, or that you might need their understanding, their guidance, whatever you need, you will be able to tell them that you need it.
Don't be too defensive. I think some people will go into a conversation thinking, this is going to be a battle, so I've got to be ready. Instead of thinking that a talk with your parents is a battle, I would say just think of it as a conversation that you would have with anybody. It doesn't have to be a battle.
That being said, you know, parents are going to have some issues. Parents could potentially have issues with what you're presenting to them. Take the time and be sensitive to address their concerns. It's important that you give them as much information as possible as to why you feel a certain way or how you came up, your current situation. So make sure you address their concerns in kind. They might not be the most delicately placed because there is a degree of, you know, comfort that your parents will have with you, especially when it comes to telling you what to do. But take the time to address their concerns. You might not be able to alleviate all of them, but at least you'll be able to tell them where you're coming from.
Just how you want them to be understanding and respectful of you, be understanding and respectful of them. Don't be whiny. Don't be argumentative. Don't be that little kid who feels like, oh, I never get my way. You want to talk to them as an adult. We're all adults here.
It's easy to let your emotions get the better of you while you're in that situation, but do keep in mind to be an adult, because you are talking about a very adult situation. So you can't pull out those little but mommy cards or but daddy cards. Don't do that at all. Be sensitive and take on a tone that's friendly and respectful with your parents, but don't act out like you're a little 2-year-old. Don't throw a tantrum. Don't do any of that kind of stuff, because you're going to lose all of your legitimacy and you're not going to be able to get what you're looking for out of the conversation.
Maybe the conversation isn't going to go exactly the way you want it to go. It's possible that your parents are still going to be very reluctant, and yes, you aren't going to get your way. But understand that it might happen, and just be proud of yourself for being able to handle that situation, for tackling that issue. Even if it doesn't go exactly as planned, or if things turn out really badly, at least you know you tried.
Absolutely.
That's what matters.
That's exactly what matters. Be proud in what you've done, and be proud in who you are, for sure. Well, that's about all the time that we have this week for Love in the North and South. Please tune in next week. We're going to be touching on self-esteem and a variety of different issues that are surrounding that. Let's face it, our society is kind of difficult on our self-esteem. Why don't we touch on a couple of those things, Love in the North and South way. And, you know, if you were interested in contacting us or getting in touch with us, Jenny, you have the info.
Our Twitter is LoveNSAdvice, which is the same as our Gmail, lovenSadvice@gmail.com. We also have our Facebook page, Love in the North and South. We'll be posting our questions up, and also look out for another vlog coming up, vlog, where you can see our pretty faces all over again.
Hey, if you have any ideas for what our next vlog should be, go ahead and hit us up with that contact information. And who knows, maybe your topic will get addressed on our vlog.
Mm-hmm.
So till next time, this has been Love in the North and South. I'm Ryan Philip Lamb.
I'm Jenny Kim.
Take care. This might sound crazy, I was thinking maybe you could be my lady. I don't know your name, so I call you Stacy. My love is thick like crazy.